1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 38 down to verse number 41. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 38 down through verse number 40. If you've got it, say, I've got it. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Verse number 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Verse number 39 says that David, being girded about with the armor of Saul, stated that I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. Another translation puts verse number 39 like this. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. He essayed to go. He tried in vain to go, but he could not. Here tonight, I believe that the power of God is in this place. And I believe that the grace of the Lord is also here tonight to minister to the needs that I represent in this house. And from these verses of Scripture, just for a moment, I want to speak to you on this subject. Fighting with the right weapons. Fighting with the right weapons. If anybody else needs another title, you can have this. Utilizing the pro. Bless Sister Julie. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 38 down to verse number 41. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verses 38 down through verse number 40. If you've got it, say, I've got it. And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Verse number 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Verse number 39 says that David, being girded about with the armor of Saul, stated that I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. Another translation puts verse number 39 like this. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. He essayed to go. He tried in vain to go, but he could not. Here tonight, I believe that the power of God is in this place. And I believe that the grace of the Lord is also here tonight to minister to the needs that I represent in this house. And from these verses of Scripture, just for a moment, I want to speak to you on this subject. Fighting with the right weapons. Fighting with the right weapons. If anybody else needs another title, you can have this. Utilizing the proper weaponry. Utilizing the proper weaponry. Here tonight, If you believe that God is here to do something specific for you and the person next to you, can you one more time place your Bibles down and can you clap your hands unto the Lord? And can you shout with the voice of triumph? Huh? David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. Verse number 40, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. Verse number 39 says that David, being girded about with the armor of Saul, stated that I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. Another translation puts verse number 39 like this. And David strapped his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not tested them. So David put them off. He essayed to go. He tried in vain to go, but he could not. Here tonight, I believe that the power of God is in this place. And I believe that the grace of the Lord is also here tonight to minister to the needs that are represented in this house. And from these verses of Scripture, just for a moment, I want to speak to you on this subject: fighting with the right weapons. Fighting with the right weapons. If anybody else needs another title, you can have this: utilizing the proper weaponry. Utilizing the proper weaponry. Here tonight, if you believe that God is here to do something specific for you and the person next to you, can you one more time place your Bibles down and can you clap your hands unto the Lord? And can you shout with the voice of triumph? Huh? Come here tonight seeking a breakthrough in your life? Does anybody want to see a breakthrough in the local assembly that you are from? Has anybody come for a breakthrough? Can you shout amen? I believe that the Lord desires to give us a breakthrough. The Bible tells us, and this is not my message, but the Bible tells us that Peter was stuck in jail. Apostolic ministry. He had the keys to the kingdom. But while he was stuck in prison, the Bible says that the church began to pray. And they began to pray without ceasing until a breakthrough came. God sent an angel, unshackled Peter, let him out the first, the second, and the third ward. And then Peter came knocking on the door of the church. The Bible tells us once again that there was a man by the name of Paul with his accomplice in the prison. At midnight, they begin to praise and sing praises unto God. And the Bible says there came an earthquake, a shaking, and there was a breakthrough that day. You know, Brother Stone King is not here tonight. He's going to be on his way, but I guarantee that he's somewhere praying. He's somewhere praising God. He's not going to allow the enemy to somehow keep him stuck in a prison, discouraged. But I believe here tonight that if Brother Stone King can make his way here in the spirit, he will love to know that there is somebody here praying. There's somebody here praising God, believing that there's going to come a breakthrough. I come to tell somebody here tonight that the devil has already tried to mess you up, but you had a breakthrough. You made your way to Memphis, Tennessee, and God is going to give you something greater than a jailhouse rock. Or can somebody stand to their feet and begin to clap your hands? And can you shout one more time unto the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus?
You may be seated. How many will agree with me here tonight that there are gigantic challenges that we all face in life? There are challenges that you and I must encounter on our journey here on this earth. Challenges that can be a detriment, or challenges that can be a building process of success in each and every last one of us. There are problems that no doubt you have encountered on your way here. Situations that you have gone through. Doesn't matter how long it has been or how recent. We all encounter problems, situations, circumstances, trials, tribulations. Things that we go through that sometimes we don't understand why. We don't realize sometimes what is happening. But God somehow allows these things to come along to challenge us, to somehow help us to see the bigger picture, to see the picture that we really do need Him. And I don't know about you, but I've come in contact with many challenges that have helped me to realize that in myself, Sister Brandon, I don't have the power. That in myself, I don't have the ability. But that I need somebody far greater than myself. I don't know about you, but I am not a self-made man. There are some people that can claim to pull themselves up by their own bootstraps. But let me tell somebody something here tonight. You can try all you want to, but there's going to come a time where you're not going to have the strength to make it up. And that's the time that you've got to depend upon somebody greater than yourself. We need Him. We cannot make it without the Lord. Without Him, we will surely fail. But the great thing about living for God and knowing Him is that He will never leave us or forsake us. And that He is just as close as the mentioning of His name. You know, we're dealing with challenges such as abuse, divorce, loss, sin and failure, just to name a few. In dealing with life's challenges, it becomes crucial in how you deal with your problems. The way that you somehow encounter conflict in your life, and the way that you handle it, and the way that you respond or react becomes crucial. There are many times that life brings frustrations, and frustrations bring us to a boiling point. And that boiling point sometimes causes us to do things out of character, or things that we wish that we have never done, things that we wish that we could take back. But there are other times that somehow we've been able to maneuver around the obstacles of life and have been able to somehow progress, even though we have gone through things such as pain, heartache, and misunderstanding and disappointments. There are times whenever an individual responds in the right way that their situation becomes a stepping stone instead of a stumbling block. It's how you deal with your challenges, not so much looking at how big the problem may seem, not so much of being distraught by how difficult the situation is, but somehow realizing that if you do put your confidence in Him, and if you will allow Him to help you respond the right way, the gigantic challenge that is in your life can come down. You don't have to be defeated. God can bring you victory. Can somebody shout amen? Here in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, the context is familiar to some. It's a famous biblical account that tells us of a particular conflict that Israel had with the Philistines. Here in chapter 17, the Bible tells us that Israel gathered on one side of the mountain and the Philistines gathered on the other side to do war, to battle. But in the midst of their preparation to engage warfare, there came, the Bible says, a champion, a giant, Goliath, son of Gath. He came out, and instead of the armies facing each other and fighting, Goliath began to express a matchup, so to speak, an opportunity for Israel to give him one person that will rumble and tumble with him, and that the winner of such would somehow bring victory to their people and bring loss and defeat to the others. Israel, if they could not bring a man, and if they did bring a man and he was defeated, then their people, the Israelites, the people of God, would become servants to the Philistines. The Bible tells us that David, a shepherd boy, receiving orders from his father to go check on his elder brothers, began to make his way to the heat of the battle, to where they had been stalling and waiting because the people of God were in fear. There was a gigantic challenge in front of them, and nobody wanted to encounter that challenge. But when David heard the taunts of the Philistine, when David heard Goliath challenging the people of God, whenever David saw this man that seemed to be a skyscraper of sorts, amen, he began to listen to the words, and Holy Ghost jealousy began to rise up in him. Something began to happen on the inside, and he said, "Who in the world is this man that's talking against my people? Who in the world is this man that's talking against my God? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine to think that he can come and say all these things like this?" David was fed up. Everybody else was afraid behind the lines, but not David. He said, "Listen, everybody, I got a plan. I'm going to make my way to King Saul. And I'm going to say to Saul, hey, I'm the man. I'll take on this Goliath. Doesn't matter who he is. He's no bigger than my God." He was willing to take on the challenge. And here we find in 1 Samuel chapter 17 that whenever David did step up to the plate, that he found some naysayers. His own brothers thought that he was just trying to come and be a spectator. But David realized that what was going on was not a sport. It wasn't a sport like basketball. It wasn't nothing like baseball, football. It wasn't any kind of sport that they played in their times. But something serious was going on. This was not more than just his people and their people. This was all about the kingdom of God. And David said, "There's a cause. There's a cause greater than us. There's a cause greater than myself. I'm not here to spectate like at a sport, but I am here to participate." The Bible goes on and tells us that whenever he did go to King Saul, he met more negativism. He met the king himself, who somehow did not believe that David was qualified or equipped to take on this task. But David said, "Listen, King Saul, I know that I'm young, but I've got a little bit of experience. I've encountered some things in life, and the God that delivered me in those conflicts is the same God that delivered me in those conflicts is the same God." Somebody needs to realize that he is still the same God. Somebody needs to understand here tonight that he's still able. You might say, "This is way too big," but don't you remember when the Lord was right there in the midst of the night when you had a small, minute problem? He's still God. Oh, can somebody wave their hands and can you shout, "You are still God"? And David said, "That God is going to deliver me, and he's going to deliver the hand of this Philistine into my hands." And so Saul said, "Okay, you want to be crazy and foolish to do this? Go ahead." But let me give you something. Let me give you my armor. Let me give you my sword. Let me give you my helmet. Because you're going to need it. But the Bible says that David recognized that something was wrong. Brother Huck, where are you at? Now, if you look at Brother Huck, compared to myself, you realize he eats more chicken than I do. I've been starving all my life, but he's been eating good. But this is the man. He's a great guy. One of my closest friends. A man of God. But Brother Hunt, let me use your Sukkot just for a moment. The Bible says that David come in contact with the king of Saul. There was a size difference. David was not as tall as Saul. Saul was head and shoulders above everybody else. David was kind of like a peewee compared to Saul. But somehow Saul thought, you know what, if he's going to die. Now I'm ad-libbing, obviously, but just humor me just for a moment. Here Saul is saying, if he's going to die in battle, he might as well die with my armor on. And here is David. I mean, he's got this armor on, feeling good. I mean, man, I mean, they told me that if I win, beat this guy, I can marry his daughter. So you don't have any kids. I'm already married too. But here's David walking around with the king's armor on. And while he's going, he's realizing, Sister Janet, that he's not moving as swiftly as he did it over there on the hillside. That things are just not working out. And so he goes back and said, King Saul, pardon me for this, but I wear Saul a size smaller. I don't think this fits me. Can I give this back to you if you don't mind? I can't go out and fight Goliath with this. And so the Bible says that David said, I can't do it. He gave back his armor. Gave back the king his armor. And the Bible says that he went out and obtained 5 smooth stones. Now, there are some people who don't believe in spiritual warfare. There are some people who don't realize that the battle that we are engaged in is serious. And that it's beyond just the physical. It's beyond just what the eye can see. But the battle that we are facing is a spiritual one. Matter of fact, the Bible gives us an understanding. There are some people who just don't want to fight. They refuse to fight. They're looking at the natural. Don't understand. They're being passive. The Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 48, in verse number 10, that there is a curse on those who refuse to fight. Matter of fact, they become defeated. Jeremiah said, cursed is he that does the work of the Lord slothfully. And cursed is he that keeps back his sword from bloodshed. What is the prophet saying? Is God telling us that we should go out and kill people? No, but he's saying that when there's a fight, and it's about the kingdom of God, and God desires for you to fight, if you just sit back and be lazy, or if you just sit back and don't care, if you have a don't care attitude of complacency, then you're cursed. But I hear the Apostle Paul say, fight the good fight of faith. Why? Because when you do draw out the sword, hallelujah, the Lord, there's going to be victory because he's never lost a battle yet. So don't be lazy. Don't be discouraged. Don't, amen, assume defeat, but get out the sword and fight. Turn to your neighbor, hug him a little bit, and say it's time to shed some blood. There is a genuine battle going on. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers. It's not against our brothers and sisters. The Bible tells us that we have weapons from God that are not carnal. They're not natural. They're not of this earth. But they are the weapons that come from heaven itself. I submit to you here tonight that if the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, then why are we trying to fight carnal battles? We've got to recognize who we are up against. Woo, Jesus. David said, I don't need that armor. This is bigger than me. He could have settled for Saul's armor. And as a result, he could have gone in the name of Saul. Saul's armor represented his honor, his reputation, his name. He was a valiant man. He won a lot of battles. People recognized the general of Israel by his armor. But Saul said, I cannot do this. Because it wasn't Saul that delivered me during those encounters of the bear and the lion. But it was the Lord God of hosts. And so instead, he went out and gathered 5 smooth stones. And I don't believe that these stones are to be allegorized. They were just that, 5 smooth stones. But there is something that we have in the New Testament, weapons that we have, that God has granted to us. The problem is that some people, instead of opting for the weapons of God, they choose the wrong weaponry. The things of this world, they fight the wrong way. The Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 12, verse number 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hungers, feed him. If he thirsts, give him drink. For in so doing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. The weapons that we have are not wicked. Gossip is not our weapon. Tearing down is not our weapon. Blowing the casket. Anger and rage and wrath is not our weapon. You might say, well, Brother Hagin, you don't understand what's going on in my life. You don't know. You're a young whippersnapper. I am a young whippersnapper. But it's true that I realized in my own life that there were times when I went off and I get upset and frustrated that I failed to step back and realize that there was another way. We have all experienced hurt in some kind of way. Just because you've been hurt doesn't mean that you have a right to hurt. The Bible never gives us a right to retaliate in the wrong way. But it does give us a right to retaliate, but not with human weapons. Not with what is evil. Not with what the Bible says, avenging ourselves. But with serious weapons that come from the Spirit. Because see, only the Spirit of God can grant victory. Only the Lord can deal with certain spiritual battles that you cannot deal with. You cannot overcome a spiritual battle with human weapons. It's not going to happen. But the Bible gives the understanding that there are some weapons that we have. I can see David going out in battle with those 5 smooth stones. If you don't mind, I'm just going to just give you a glimpse of what David had in his arsenal before he went against Goliath. The Bible gives us understanding that he was a worshiper. He knew how to praise God. Not only that, but he was a lover of the word of God. David loved the word of the Lord. And when he went against Goliath, he had the word. Not only that, but David was anointed of God. There was an anointing that was upon David that helped him to be able to fight against Goliath. But it was more than just an anointing. But David had some angels that he wrote about, that he sung about, that said, they will protect me. They will, amen, God has granted them to have charge over me. But more importantly, when David went against Goliath, there is one thing that he had in his arsenal. That's all that he needed. He said, Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a spear. You come with your shield. You've talked about ripping my head off and all that stuff. But guess what? I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. There's an old prophet of God that's passed on this year, Brother T.W. Barnes, in his late 90s. Passed on from this life, but he left us some things and some books that he written. Brother Stone King refers to Brother Barnes many times in his messages. But in one of Brother Barnes' books that he published right before he passed, entitled Spiritual Warfare, he says these words, the Lord revealed to me that we have five great powerful things in the name of the Lord Jesus. The first is that the word is in his name. It is the most powerful word in the Bible. It is the most powerful name in heaven and the most powerful name on earth. He said, number two, the blood of the Son of God is in his name. Number three, he mentioned that all the authority in heaven is in and behind the name of Jesus Christ. When we are baptized, all the authority in heaven and in earth is in the name that dwells in us right now. And then he said, number four, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit is in his name. And then number five, he said, his faith is in his name. He said, the Lord spoke to him and said, where do you think I put the most of my faith? Not in holding up suns, moons, stars, galaxies. I do that. My power is out there holding it up. But the greatest of my power is in my name. I left with the church. In my name you will cast out devils. It's in the name of Jesus. I submit to you here tonight that even though David gathered five smooth stones, whenever he began to swing it around and begin to say, I come in the name of the Lord, something was activated. I want you to know that it's in the name of Jesus that there is Holy Ghost dynamite. Thank God we just got our cavalry over there in Iraq. And the United States has great weapons. But I got some news for somebody here tonight. The weapons that we have in the church can locate any devil. The weapons that we have in the church can somehow destroy any enemy. It's in the name of Jesus. Somebody help me lift up the name of Jesus just for a moment. When you were baptized in the name of Jesus, something got a hold of you. When you were baptized in the name of Jesus, something transpired in you. You took all the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. When you receive the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost, there is a name that was placed in you. And I want you to know that whenever you begin to praise God, and you begin to pray unto God, and you begin to allow the Spirit of God to flow, there is something about that name that begins to work. Amen. Remain standing. I'm sorry for going 32 minutes, but I'll never forget a time when I encountered a gigantic challenge. My own personal miscues and mistakes have brought me to a point of giving up, of throwing in the towel, of saying there's no need no more to fight. I'll never forget that night driving in this parking lot. I began to let the Lord know that it was over for me. there is no more use for me. I was defeated. But I'll never forget, I heard a voice that came to me as clear as the night breeze that I heard that night. That said to me, have you forgotten about my blood? I want you to know that whenever you call on the name of Jesus, the blood begins to flow. And there's a power in the name of Jesus that we have that even David did not have. But it can conquer the greatest sin. And it can conquer the greatest failures. And it can conquer the greatest mistakes. But here tonight, I believe that God wants to do more than just forgive somebody. If you're here tonight, you don't have the power of this name. If you don't have the Holy Ghost on the inside, there is no way you can fight this spiritual warfare. You've got to have the Holy Ghost. Can somebody shout amen? You've got to have the power of the name of Jesus. Can somebody shout praise the Lord? But I believe right here tonight, there are some people that have come with a gigantic challenge. The enemy has been taunting your mind, has been telling you you're not going to make it. But I believe in this service right now, there are some individuals who have realized that there is a name that is above every name. That there is a name that can bring victory. And I believe here tonight that as you begin to call on the name of Jesus, something is going to begin to happen. Somebody here needs a healing in their body. As you begin to praise God, there are some who have already experienced healing. But there are some here tonight that have heard some bad news about your body. But God is going to heal you. God is going to touch you. Why? Because there is power in the name of Jesus. Can somebody right now begin to lift up the name of Jesus? All over this house, can somebody begin to release their faith in the name of the Lord Jesus right now? Just give a few moments. Let's just begin to praise the name of the Lord for a moment. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let your name. Here we go. Never underestimate the power of one. David was just one. But he knew something about the name of the Lord of hosts. But the Bible says that he began to encounter Goliath. He did not just stand back and swing his sling, but he began to advance. I believe here tonight that the Lord is challenging some individuals to begin to confront what the enemy has been taunting you about. And that's going to take more for you on this first night to just enjoy the presence of the Lord where you are and go home. But God wants somebody here tonight to begin to advance in the name of Jesus. I don't care what the enemy is saying. I don't care what the report is. I believe here tonight that if some individuals will begin to advance, if just one will begin to advance down to this altar in the name of the Lord, that victory is going to come. There's getting ready to be a dynamic flow of the Spirit of God in just a moment. There's getting ready to be an infusion of power that comes upon this altar. But can somebody begin to advance right now in the name of the Lord? I want you to come praising right now. I want you to come glorifying God right now. Come on, somebody begin to come to this altar quoting scriptures right now in the name of the Lord Jesus. Come on, that's it. You're going to receive victory. On this first night, God, hallelujah, wants you to have the victory so that you can go and be, hallelujah, a blessing to the kingdom of God, so that you can receive something to take back. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. That's it, that's it, that's it. Hakatara mataya moshotora mataya mahaya. Shandara mahaya mohoshotoya mahaya. Shandara mandaya moshotora mahaya mahashakaya mahaya. If there's nothing that you come here tonight for, as far as the challenge that you're facing, can you gather around some individuals? Can we allow the Spirit of God begin to flow? Can we allow the gifts of the Spirit to begin to operate right now? Can you begin to make your way to somebody else and begin to use the name of Jesus? That's it, that's it, that's it. That's it, that's it. Halala mahashataya mahoshakaya mahaya. Shandaya mahoshokotoya mahaya mahashakaya.
No.